So, how many of you guys do like New Year's resolutions? Anybody do them at all anymore? Anybody do them? Because I don't like them. Because I never follow through with them, I guess, to be honest. I just don't. And for those of you that do New Year's resolutions, can I ask you a question? How's that going? And I'm not trying to be negative toward that, but I'm just trying to get us to think of, as we look forward to the new year, I have been, the last 2 or 3 years, journaling and kind of going back and seeing what God has done and seeing what he's done not only in my life, but just in general. And it's interesting because as we start the new year, God takes us through those moments of being prepared for what is to come, right? That God is in the business of taking us and preparing us for that moment when he is just going to do something awesome and great, right? God can do that, right? And as I was kind of reflecting on this past year, God called me to be an elder here a year ago. And I was a little nervous. Not knowing maybe what I was getting into, and as God kind of brought us together and the elder board and then Pastor Matt leaving and being on the search committee, and when I was kind of asked to be on the search committee, I have to be honest, it was something that I really wasn't sure I was wanting to do. And it was kind of funny because God, at one of our elder meetings, we kind of actually drew lots. And guess where one of the lots fell? To me. and Pastor and Elder Lowell Fink, and him and I were the elders on the committee, and I ended up kind of heading the committee, and I tell you what, it was, looking back, I'm glad I did it. Because God showed his faithfulness. And when God was showing me his faithfulness, he was just showing more about himself to me and what that looked like. Because as I was on the committee, there was people on the committee that were gifted in different areas than I was. And I have to be honest, I was a little intimidated by that. And I have to be honest that I didn't know, okay, what am I? Why am I here, Lord? And I wrestled with that. And once I finally said, God, okay, I'm on it. What do you want to show me? God just began giving me a peace. God just began showing me more of himself. And as I look back and think, God, you were in the whole process. God, you were preparing us. God, you were taking us in the moment of, what do we do now? We're without a pastor. We have David. My logical choice was, well, let's just get David in there. We don't have to have a committee. That was my excuse. And yet, as I talked to people and as I was kind of trying to just gather some information, you know, the whole theme was, with the people that I talked to and the books that I read, was let God speak. Give chance for God to speak. Let God kind of confirm the process. God was preparing me to wait on him. And isn't it amazing that God knew and that God kind of confirmed that and God was able to speak to us and confirm things? And it was going through that whole process that God was preparing us, preparing me, preparing the church for what he wants to do in 2023, right? Let's get excited. Let's get excited about what God wants to do in 2023, right? I mean, I could do a sermon on just all the new activities we got going. The youth ministry. What God has done there. How he has prepared that opportunity. There is a lot of things going on that God has used 2022 to prepare us for. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the life groups, the youth, and just everything that is going on. God is getting ready to do a great work. And so my question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Have you been preparing? And today we're going to look in the book of Judges. We're going to look at Gideon. And we're going to look at some of the things that Gideon had to go through to prepare for what God was going to do through him. And it's a very familiar story, Gideon. You all remember the story of Gideon? He was a judge, or he was Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and kind of give you a little bit of background that basically Israel has kind of been walking away from the Lord. They're kind of living in sin. God says, okay, you guys kind of are going to suffer a little bit, to put it mildly. For 7 years, they kind of are just wandering around. And as they're wandering, they're hiding out because they're afraid of their enemies. They don't have any food to eat because the enemy comes in and takes the food. And they're just kind of in this moment of, okay, God, we're kind of tired of wandering around here, God. Would you come and would you help us? And so I'll pick it up in verse 6 of chapter 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Benjamites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Benjamites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. And the first thing that I want us to recognize is that that when, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, when you call out to God, He hears you. God hears you. And God wants to answer that prayer. And as I'm reading that and kind of research that, you know, it just seems like that, you know, once they cried out, God goes right into, okay, I heard your prayer. I'm not going to deliver you right now, but I'm going to send a prophet. And I got to thinking about my own life that when I cry out to God and when I am praying to God, that sometimes He doesn't answer the way that I feel like He should, right? I don't know how many of you have done that. Pray to God and you think, okay, God, I really need help here. Where are you at? And then God doesn't answer right away, but He prepares me. He takes me through a time to be prepared. Because what did the Midianites want? They want to be delivered. They wanted to be delivered. They just wanted to kind of have their prosperity back and their lives back. And God wanted them to recognize that they were not listening to His voice. That they just wanted to be delivered and have life go back to the way it was and not really learn anything. And God was saying, okay, you guys have been walking around basically for 7 years. I don't want to just bless you, but I want to show you that you have been where you are because you did not hear my voice. Because you just kind of ignored me. And as we continue on, God uses the prophet to remind them that I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who pressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here's the reason. But you have not obeyed my voice. You have not obeyed my voice. You see, Gideon, you see, the prophet reminded the people that God has done all this. God is the one that's done all this. You have all this blessing and prosperity because of what God has done. And then he also says, but I'm going to remind you that God said, I am the Lord your God. You have not listened to my voice. That is why you are where you are. And God was wanting to get them to a place of repentance so that they could acknowledge that it wasn't God that wasn't being faithful, but they were the ones that were not being faithful. That they are the ones that turned their back and decided to go their own way. And you know what? That's what God wants to do with us. I know, I remember when I got my first speeding ticket, I ended up getting a nice size speeding ticket for going 20 over. The reason I was going 20 over is because I was late for work. So guess what? I was that much more later to work. The work didn't like that I was late. And I tried to, whatever, give an excuse, and well, they didn't listen. And so they kind of treated me a little harshly, and then after my work, I went home, and on my way home, I thought, well, how am I going to get out of this? I basically don't have a job anymore. I got a speeding ticket to pay. How am I going to pay for it? And in my young, brilliant mind, I thought, okay, if I just tell Mom and Dad I got a speeding ticket, they'll pay for it and forget about the whole thing. That's what I thought. Well, guess what? I did tell them. They acknowledged that part, that I got a speeding ticket because of the ticket that I had. But they didn't offer to pay for it. And they didn't feel sorry for me. So in order to pay for it, I had to do extra work and chores on the farm, and kind of as a punishment, basically, until I could pay back my ticket that I had gotten. And you know what that lesson stood with me? That lesson stood with me. And here's what stood with me was that, yeah, Mom and Dad could have paid for it, but it wouldn't have really taught me anything. Because if I'm honest, sometimes I think we can have ulterior motives when we want to admit something that we did wrong. And yet, the closer we get with God, He wants us to rely on Him and trust in Him. And even when things get messy and life gets difficult and you get in a situation, God is still there waiting to hear from us, to hear from me. Because God wants to get to the root of the problem. God wants to get down below and show us what it is that's causing some of this pain and suffering. And that's what God is reminding the children of Israel here, is that God's done His work. And He is faithful. And you guys aren't listening to His voice. And then it just kind of goes on to basically now we're into Gideon, and the angel comes and visits Gideon, and the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So as Gideon was out there threshing and basically kind of hiding out and doing some work, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and just kind of said, "Okay, God, you know, where have you been? Why is all this happening to us? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." You see, the children of Israel have been in the situation they're in for 7 years now. They remember the stories, if they're being told anymore, but they haven't seen God work. They haven't seen any of his miracles. And Gideon is working, and he's obviously reflecting and maybe pondering on the situation of, "Man, God, where are those miracles? Where are you, God? We're struggling here." Have any of you cried out to God wondering where he is? "God, what are you doing in my life?" And God is always at work in the life of a believer. God is always at work doing something. We might not see it, but God is preparing us, preparing the people for something great. God is at work. Even though we might not see him, he's at work. And I know in my own life, sometimes we want that ultimate hot mountaintop experience, right? We go to an event, or we go to a concert, or we go to wherever, and we get on this such high of, "Man, that's what I want God all the time to be to me." And yet, when we come down off of that, we kind of settle back into our normal life, don't we? Normal routine. And one thing that I've learned in my journey is God is also available in the valley. Because you know what's in the valley? Fertile ground. Green grass. Comfort and protection. You see, sometimes I've learned that God is the closest when I'm going through a difficult situation. God is closest to me. Even though I might not see it or want to acknowledge it, but that's when God is closest to me. Is when I am in that situation. In the valley, in the everyday life, God is still at work. And God is showing me things, and God is preparing things, revealing himself to me. So as Gideon is questioning, having this conversation with the angel, Gideon is just thinking out loud, basically. He's saying, "Okay, I haven't seen a miracle. That doesn't mean that God's still not at work. God is still at work," and he was reminding him. And then in verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So then he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." The angel of the Lord sent Gideon, and what does Gideon do? Comes up with excuses. I do that. I do that from time to time. I say, "God, you can't." I say, "God, you can't." I say, "God, do you see the circumstance I'm in here? God wants to take our eyes off of our circumstance and put them back to Him. So the situation you might be going through, God wants us to not focus on that, but on Him and His promises. Amen? That's where God wants us to focus. And Gideon, his focus was, "Well, I'm not qualified, God. Do you know who my family is? Do you know that I'm in a tribe that really is not, I'm from basically a non-tribe, basically, God. I'm not anybody special. But look who called him. God called him. And if God calls you to do something, He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you, and He's going to give you His strength and power. God is going to do that. Because God sent him. And then in verse 16, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" And then he goes on to say, "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me.'" And so Gideon just wanted to make sure that he was talking with God and that it was him who was calling him to go and save Israelites. You see, Gideon hadn't seen the miracles. Gideon hadn't seen anything. All he had was just what they had been told. And so Gideon just wanted to have some confirmation to say, "Okay, is it really you? Is it you who I'm talking with, God?" Because I might respond the same way if an angel of the Lord appeared to me and said, had a conversation with me, I'd be like, "Okay, is it really you? Because if it is you, I want to know that. I want to know that it is you." And so then Gideon, he kind of goes and brings an offering, and he says, "You know, wait here." And then I love in verse 19, "So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread and basically prepared it, and then he brought it before him, and the angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock.' And he poured it out and did so, and then the angel of the Lord basically consumed the offering and departed." And so then Gideon, after all that, he had kind of, it was the Lord. He perceived it, and as he went on, he was worried. And then in verse 23 says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die.' And so then Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.'" And I love what Gideon there did. He wanted to make sure, brought an offering, prepared it, did the work, and then he took the time to build an altar. He took the time to build an altar and to recognize that it was God who was at work. That he had seen God, the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord had called him, and he took the time to build the altar. And it's so amazing to me that Gideon recognized it, and then he went and took the time to build the altar. And I have to examine my own life. You know, I don't build an altar to the Lord, but do I just take the time out to recognize God's faithfulness when he shows up? Or do I just kind of, life just keeps moving? And there have been times in my life where I say, thank you, God, and just keep right on moving with life. And Gideon actually took the time to just acknowledge that it was God. He recognized it and he built an altar. And like I said in the beginning, that, you know, last 2 or 3 years I've been kind of going back through my journal and just looking and seeing what God has done and what God is doing. And it's amazing for me that there have been moments that I thank God. I didn't thank you. And it kind of, it makes me pause and say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness, for keeping me safe in that moment or in that situation. And then I just look back at what God has done here at Blessed Hope. And man, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. May not have been the year that we would have thought should be, but God had bigger ideas. And my God has bigger ideas. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. God really wants to do something great as a body. And as individuals here at Blessed Hope. And are we allowing God to prepare us? Are we allowing God to reveal himself and show up? And are we inviting God to show up and say, you know, as we sang earlier, here I am, Lord, take me. I'm yours. Conform me, transform me to your will, Lord. Because God is faithful and God desires to just have that fellowship and desires to move. But we have to be prepared. It's kind of like a lot of people have New Year's resolutions of eating better, eating healthier, a lot of different resolutions, whether it's money or saving money or whatever it is, or even just good things like spending time with God and praying more. If you're not willing to prepare yourself, it probably is not going to happen. Does that make sense? For example, if you want to lose weight, there is a little bit of time of preparation. Or if you want to be in better shape, you're not just going to go out tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and run 25 miles. That would not be a good idea. There's a preparation. There's a time where we need to just do little steps, but be faithful in the little steps. Be faithful in the little things, and God will add to that. And as a church body, if every single one of us here would commit to praying for our church and our leaders, God could do great and wonderful things if we would just do that. Seek the Lord together. So the question is, are we preparing for that? Are we asking God, okay, God, it's a new year, I'm ready. Are we being intentional? Are we getting involved? If you are wanting to go and read the Bible more and study more, are you committing to a group? Are you going to commit to that? Because I can tell you, if those are good ideas, but if you don't have a plan and commit to it, can I tell you, next year I'll ask you the same question and you'll give me the same answer? So let us together commit to praying and seeking God and being involved in a group. Being intentional in prayer and in study and in reading. Because if we do that, God's going to do just great things. God is going to do amazing things. But He's preparing us. So then it goes on, and then Gideon accepts the call, and as we continue on, he basically, the angel says, you know what, there's some altars and stuff we got to get rid of. Gideon, I want you to go ahead and remove those Asherah poles, and I want you to get rid of them. I want you to burn them. I don't want them. And so Gideon says, okay. But then he realizes that his dad, Joash, is in charge. So Gideon has to think about it, and then he goes and he doesn't do it during the day, but he goes at night, knocks them all down, and builds some altars and burns it up, and then in the morning they all kind of wonder, well, who did this? Who has done this thing? And then when they inquired, they said, Gideon, son of Joash, has done this thing. And you can only imagine what they said. They said, go ahead. The leaders were just like, bring him out here. He's got to die. And so they met, and then Joash stood up against him, and then he said, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. So basically, Joash recognizes that, okay, if these are real gods, call on them. Let them show up. And if he doesn't show up, guess what? You're going to be the one to die instead of Gideon. And you see, what are you waving? Huh? Oh, 5-minute warning, David. That was my daughter giving me the 5-minute warning sign. You can just choose to ignore her, and I'll just keep on preaching, okay? We'll, no. Anyway, I got to keep moving. Okay. Because you guys want me to keep preaching, right? Oh, it might be 4 minutes. Okay, here we go. Wrapping this up, okay? That means 10 minutes, by the way, when I say that. 10 minutes, okay. So then he goes on and basically says, then he kind of goes through the whole army, choosing his army, and basically he starts out with this big number, and God kind of whittles that down too. to 300 men. And then they go into the battle, and then they get out there at night, and then basically God shows up and God does the work. But there was preparation for Gideon, right? Gideon had to be prepared to go into the battle so that God would show up and God would get the glory, amen? That God would get the glory, and God did show up because he is faithful. But Gideon had to go through and prepare himself. Because he's Gideon just like me. I would have had doubts too. Just from being called to be an elder here. You know, there are moments that I thought, God, why? Why me? But God was faithful, and God took me through the process. And can I share something with you? That it was during those times when I doubted the most that God was the closest. It's during those times when I was doubting myself, God was the closest. Because, you know, that took focus off of me and my abilities and put them to where God is. Because God is always faithful. God is always faithful to be with those who step out in faith and trust. So my challenge is, for the new year ahead, are you excited about what God is going to do? Are you prepared to see what God is going to do in this new year? Because I'm excited about it. Like I said, I just look back and I see God's hand in it all. That God is going to do something great. And that's where I want to be. I want to be where God is at work. Even if that means I got to learn some lessons along the way. Even if that means I got to be stretched a little bit. Because I can look back and say, God is faithful all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Right? Right? You guys know that? Let's try it together. God is good. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Right? Amen? He is. So that's my challenge to us, to me, is are we going to be like Gideon and allow God to prepare us and go through that process? Because God is not going to reward us for cutting corners or doing things the easy way. God wants us to be faithful to him. And when we do that, we got to step out and trust. So let me close with prayer, and then we can be dismissed. And that was 5 minutes. Okay. God, you are good. God, you are faithful. And God, we just thank you for your presence here. And I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that just opens our eyes to see you more clearly. And Lord, I confess that you deserve all the praise and all the glory for what you have done this past year here, not only as a body, but even in our individual lives. You have been faithful, you have been preparing, and you have been just excited to see what you are doing. May we be excited, and may we be engaged, and may we be all in, Lord. And may we, as we begin the new year, just be excited to seek you, Lord. If that doesn't bring us excitement, then what will, Lord? We just want to be in your presence. We just want to worship you for who you are, because you deserve all of our worship and praise. And Lord, I just pray for us as a body that, Lord, it's when we open your word, you have something for us. You reveal yourself more and more every time we open your word. And Lord, I pray today, as these weren't my words, but that your Holy Spirit just spoke to our hearts. And may we engage you where we are. For Lord, you meet us right in the middle of our biggest joys. Or Lord, you are also there in the valleys of life that sometimes we don't understand you are there. And you show us who you are. And Lord, we should take comfort in knowing that. Lord, we love you. We give you praise and glory and honor. And we just ask that you be with us today and the new year ahead. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.